X Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Vice President J.D. Vance said he doesn't think a blood feud between President Trump and Elon Musk would be a good thing for America. The vice president weighed in during an interview that was released Friday as two of the world's most powerful men saw their relationship publicly fall apart. ABC's Alex Perche has more.
It's a win for President Trump and the agency once headed by the world's richest man at a time when the relationship between the two is uncertain. They had a blistering exchange sparked by Musk's criticism of the president's so-called One Big Beautiful Spending Bill. The Tesla CEO called it a disgusting abomination. The president responding, "I'm very disappointed in Elon," and that tit for tat became more personal from there.
The win referring to a Supreme Court decision giving Doge access to Social Security numbers. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly deported and imprisoned in El Salvador, is back in the U.S. He faces a federal human trafficking charge. This is ABC News. The fourth week of testimony in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs concluded Friday. There was testimony from one of the mogul's ex-girlfriends. She testified under a pseudonym and told jurors that Combs provided her with drugs and forced her to participate in sexual activities that only stopped when Combs was arrested by federal agents in September of 2024. He has pleaded not guilty. Today in Washington, D.C., a celebration of pride marking 50 years since the first World Pride celebration in the nation's capital. ABC's Christian Cordero has all the details from Washington.
What organizers really had in mind here was just keeping in mind that this is the perfect backdrop to bring visibility to issues that affect the LGBTQ plus community and also to celebrate it. Cynthia Erivo hosts the concert later today, and tomorrow Doechii takes the stage. We know that's going to be a good time.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
We have quite a selection of hearing aids.
They've got
Bluetooth, of course, and AI. We're Android robots.
You've been assimilated into the Borg.
We are into the Borg. Be kind of cool.
The Borg hearing aid.
If they haven't, we should latch on to that. The John and Gordy Borg hearing aid devices at a special discount.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Postpartum depression and anxiety are more common than people think, and new moms on Medicaid are at a higher risk. Judith Ruiz Brandt reports.
Two of every five mothers who give birth in Wisconsin are covered by Badger Care. Federal data shows up to 50% of PPD cases are undiagnosed because of the stigma surrounding symptoms. Jennifer Davis with Postpartum Support International says the condition presented differently for her after both of her pregnancies, with symptoms of overwhelming worry and anxiety after her daughter's birth and depression after having her son.
Crying at night almost all the time, regretting this decision, feeling emotionally disconnected, but still outwardly smiling. Now I really am back in this place of I can't share this. I cannot share that I questioned why I had my son.
Federal data shows the prevalence of PPD is higher among those on Medicaid, with an increased likelihood for treatment in Medicaid expansion states. Wisconsin is one of only two states that have yet to expand their Medicaid coverage, although it recently passed legislation to extend Medicaid postpartum coverage from 60 days to a full year. Even though up to 85% of women experience mood changes in the first few days to weeks after delivery, postpartum depression and anxiety can take months to emerge and involve symptoms lasting longer than 2 weeks that interfere with daily life. Common signs of PPD include anxiety, sadness, anger, and irritability, difficulty sleeping, and intrusive thoughts, which can include thoughts of harming your baby. Research shows a 98% recovery rate with treatment. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest, who definitely gets it from her mama, from my teeth to my skin to my hair. Ooh, baby, I am blessed. And my co-host for a second week in a row is...
Colin Berusha.
I welcome you back, dear. I'm so glad that you can join me again.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. And if you guys missed last week, check out the podcast recording on Civic Media. And also check out the recording on my Facebook and Black Conversion Show Facebook, which reminds me, you guys need to join Black Conversion Facebook because we can't even record. We can't do much from the page because we ain't got no friends, okay?
Go like and subscribe and follow and all those things.
Please go do that. We are returning from a week of high from our Black Brilliance Gala at Overture Center that happened on May 31st. We are super stoked. It was amazing. It was so beautiful. You have to check out the photos on Facebook, on Urban Triage Facebook, my Facebook, and Luke. He came through, had his beard all lined up, looking all fresh to death. Did you go to a Black barber, Luke?
I did it myself. I'm so sorry.
I knew he wasn't going to take my advice. He was supposed to go get chopped out and all that. But check out his pictures. You know, we got some pictures with Luke and his wife. Absolutely beautiful, stunning. It was a great experience. If you missed it, you suck. Okay? I don't want to say you suck.
They got to get tickets for next year.
That's right. And we don't have a date for next year, but it's always in May. Know that. May is where we're at Overture Center. We'll continue to have it at Overture Center because they're just an amazing host. Their staff is brilliant. They're very, 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 very expensive. However, it's worth it. You know, you pay for what you get. Okay? You can go to the Concourse or the Monona Terrace and pay less, but it ain't the same. Ain't the same experience. It ain't as brilliant and black and elegant. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, moving on. Today, we're going to continue the conversation with my co-host around the topic, do men hate women? Last week, when we ended the conversation, we had this clip from somebody.
Count Yada?
Count Yada. The account is Yada.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not his name.
Not Count Yada. Sorry. Just to clarify that.
It's we turned Y-A-D-A. Him into a Dracula.
Nothing like that. But if you check out last week's podcast, the clip is in the podcast description.
Yeah. And on that clip, he talked a little bit about like why he believes men hate women. And one of the things before we go on to that topic or go back into that topic, you know what I found interesting, Colin?
What did you find?
That all these plantations are burning down.
Oh.
Have y'all noticed that they just set the flame?
Was there another one?
Yeah, it was called Norseway or something. God, I need to do better at news. But Norseway or something, it just recently burnt down. It's been like 3 or 4 in the last month. I feel like Black people, ancestors, don't tell nobody that I said this here on 92.7 FM. But I feel like our ancestors are showing up and showing out. They preparing for Juneteenth, okay? They preparing for Juneteenth. You can go. And you know what's so funny about Black people? Y'all, we are hilarious. We are on Black Twitter. I don't know if we're on Black Twitter. I'm not even on Twitter, but we're like on social media making reels. And, you know, people are going to the fires and eating and making little dances and all these skits around these plantations burning. What's your opinion about it? What you think? What's happening in the universe that these plantations are setting on fire?
I heard about the first one. I've been seeing some stuff on social media. I spend too much time on social media. I think we do.
I think that's usually the case.
Some of the images are and now that artificial intelligence is everywhere now. I'm seeing images, and I'll admit, some are quite humorous.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it's Juneteenth is coming up, and, yes. and that's, you know, for those who don't know, that's the celebration of when the last slaves were freed.
Yeah, at least that's when we thought we was free or something, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that, too, because I need to Google before... Before I say anything wrong, but you know, I am excited about the plantations burning. Now, I know, you know, property is super important, especially, don't tell nobody I said this, but especially to white people, like buildings are everything. So every time there was rallies or, I mean, riots or, you know, things get destroyed, buildings, people are like, oh my God, not the building. It means so much. And then people die and they're like, well, you know, did he deserve it? I'm like, what are we missing here? So anyway, I'm excited about the plantations burning. And then they, like, when you hear the reading, like the articles in the newspaper, it's like a devastating fire occurred at a historical building, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, devastating. Yep. Great. So shout out to the Black ancestors. I see you. I feel you as we prepare for Juneteenth. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brand. Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, and my co-host
Colin Baruchak.
Okay, y'all know y'all love me and y'all hate me, and I get it. Sometimes I love and I hate me too. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh girl, you is on fire. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, girl, what was you thinking and why did you say that? And myself responds back and I'd be like, I don't know, self, I really don't know how that happened. Luke, do you ever have that experience with yourself? Luke's like, yeah, no, not like that.
Sometimes, like, I get mad at, I have the battle I have is between current Luke and future Luke.
Mm.
And current Luke can sometimes be really nice to future Luke by taking care of the things that he needs to take care of.
Yeah.
But then sometimes current Luke really hates future Luke and just doesn't do the things that I should do. And so that's the kind of way that I frame it in my head. I'm like, everything will be better off if I do these things, eat my vegetables, if I'm working out, if I go to bed early, stuff like that. But I don't necessarily see it as a, maybe that's a hate love thing. I don't know. That's just the way that my mind kind of interprets that struggle.
I think you might be on to something, Luke, because when I do eat my vegetables, when I do exercise, that person that sometimes shows up that I'm like, why did I say that? That person shows up actually less. Because I think I have the right energy and nutrients in my body and my psyche, because they say you are what you eat. So if you eat a hamburger, you're going to be hamburgerish.
Okay.
All right. Why am I cracking myself up like I'm a comedian?
It's the microphone. Sometimes when people do strange things when they're in front of the microphone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like a little kid who's tired and just start acting up and saying crazy stuff. How about you? Go ahead, Luke.
It's been a busy couple of weeks. Well-deserved rest hopefully coming up soon for you.
Yes. Well, I just came back from vacation, Luke. It's June 7th. I just came back from Disney World with my kid. We actually had a great time. It rained a little bit. I bought me a...
I'm glad that you had the time away.
I bought me a nice umbrella from Amazon, so we was covered, but we had a good time. So anyway, all right, we're going to get ourselves together. Colin, what about you? What do you think about that? Like, do you have moments where you're like, you know, I love and hate myself. Sometimes I'm rocking it, and sometimes I'm like, what the heck am I doing now?
Yeah, definitely. Very seldom, but never get into really bad moods, and I can... You know, I've been a jerk to people and stuff like that. Not a lot, but sometimes.
He says, darn it. Do you know I'm trying to run for political office one day? I'm supporting a state senator. I'm never a bad person. I'm always controlled. And...
Right. But, you know, I look back on it and I say, well, I should have been a little bit more calm. And, you know, I shouldn't have let my emotions get to me.
Yeah.
And then... Always be careful with, and my advice to anyone out there is always be careful with alcohol.
You ain't lying.
just put your phone away after drinking.
Mm-hmm. Look at Colin having flashbacks from last week.
See, that's one of those things where it's like I was always taught it's like everything that you do with your phone and the internet, everything's permanent.
It's
everything's
so permanent.
So you got to be careful with
what
you do with
that. You got to be careful. You are
it's
so.
It's a good lesson.
It's a great lesson because God knows when I'm, you know, drinking a little bit. Things can be said. Things can happen. I've been trying not to drink, but lately it's been so hard. I'm going to work better on that. I'm going to work more on that.
I've been hearing more about Sober Summer.
Wait, what?
There's like a very similar to Dry January, how like okay. it was I think kind of a little less known to okay. start over a few years back, but Dry January I think took on okay. a whole new persona. I'm now hearing about Sober Summer. Mm-hmm.
See,
and so there's some movements growing behind the okay. those topics.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to get some mocktails or something. Mm-hmm. You down,
Colin? Oh yeah, and you know it's great to see. I actually. A lot of people I knew did Dry January this year, and I said, you know, that's good. It's good decision making.
I think so.
For a better society.
Yeah, better society. Better. I love alcohol though. Like so.
In moderation, yeah. But there will be some times where I'll come off like a week or two of like drinking. Events and, yeah. and parties and celebrations and all that stuff, and I'm like, I gotta take a little break from yeah. all that stuff.
Your body feels it. It feels mm-hmm. yucky. My stomach gets bloated. Anyway, moving on. We're talking a little bit about the
love. That was our check-in.
That was our check-in
to kick off the show.
That's right. Love and hate with self, okay? Here on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. We're going to be discussing and continue the conversation. We know, or we have the opinion, not that we know, because God knows that we don't know what we don't know. And sometimes we think we know when we actually don't know, because we don't know what we don't know until we know. But now we thinking that we know, but the conversation is.
I think I got lost on that. I don't know where you were going with that one. That was a lot of you know, and I know, and I know that you know, and I know.
But you understood what I was saying, so.
Sure.
Just keep up, Luke. Just keep up. See, I'm not the problem. It's the listener. See, that's how I talk to people. They'd be like, that's not true. You're actually the problem.
Not everybody tells you that. I'm sure. Some people are just sitting there like, what happened just now?
Right. You're right. They probably say it under breath. Like, she really thinks she's smart, but I think she's dumb smart. But it's all good. So today's topic is really about discussing with my co-host. What's your name again?
I'm Colin Baruchak.
Okay, I love your last name. Say it again.
It's Baruchak.
Baruchak.
Yeah, it really confuses people. Baruchak. I'll tell you that much. You know, people people have a hard time guessing my race or ethnicity.
Yeah,
or
like, my nationality. Are you Russian?
Yeah.
You German? What is that? From a different country, but anyway,
that's the beautiful thing about America, though, is we're the melting pot. It should be like that.
Well, Luke, we ain't gonna be the melting pot for long because I mean, Trump then imported 59 white Africans and exported all the brown people. Look, trying to get rid of the brown and black people. I keep telling Trump, he just need to have a sit down with me. Trump, you cannot get away from us. We're gonna show up anyway. It's just like we pop up later. You get rid of, we're gonna show up somehow. We're gonna get around the wall, the ocean, and everything. It's something around. Black and brown people. It don't deport us today, but see us tomorrow. Anyway, tune in to 92.7 FM. Our conversation today is, do men hate black women or men hate women in general? We have come to the conclusion from last week that they might. And we had a clip that we talked about, some topics that came up is, why do men expect women to have their babies, provide catering to them, have sex with them, and then don't want to provide provision? And the conversation I want to get in today is, what is provision? Because Colin in our last conversation said, hey, like for a man to provide for a family or another human being and children is almost financially impossible in this economy. So is it provision that providing financially equals provision? And is that what women are looking for? And why is the conversation so like different when it comes to providing provision for black women compared to other women? Because what about your boy Travis Hunter? What's his name? NFL dude? He just got drafted.
Number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he got like a $32 million sign-on bonus. Yeah. With like, the boy is rich. And then he married this girl. Is she brown? Who is she? Is she white? What's her race?
I do not know enough about Travis Hunter's.
You know, I don't know either, but he's trending everywhere.
No, I don't know either. I heard about that. I don't know anything about his wife.
But it's so funny because they're talking about how he had to chase her and how she didn't want to marry him and be with him until he got closer to being this number one, number two pick. And then they rushed and got married. People thinking they're married. I mean, she's pregnant and he doesn't have a prenup. So let's talk about that when we talk about the complexities of the hate of women by black men and how for black women, we are seen less deserving of provision even when the financials are there. Oh, my goodness. Don't run away from this conversation here on the Black Conversion Show. 92.7 FM WMDX return because I'll be back in a jiff. I look too good. Put that on my mama. I look good.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, Luke! Not Jay-Z and Beyonce. Here on 92.7 FM, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and my co-host,
Colin Berusha.
All right, welcome back. Let me upgrade you. Hey, I need a man to upgrade me. Hey, who want to upgrade me? Okay, y'all, I'm taking applications. You can find me at, no, I'm just kidding, before I get hurt. Walk around in a black eye like, I heard you on the radio. So... talking about now I'm walking around like, I told y'all black men abusive. Okay, anyway, I'm a hot mess here on the Black Conversion Show. So thank you guys for tuning back in. We're going to get into this complex conversation around the hatred of women. And we're actually going to focus on the hatred of black women. I want you to play a clip for me. I can't remember what's on it because it's part two of the conversation. And I sent Luke the clip last week, but it's the one about around men triggers. And I want to talk about in this conversation, not just the hatred of black women, but the complex kind of intersectionality of why it's hard for people to think that black women are deserving of provision. And Colin, last week you shared that your mother's black. She's married to a white woman. They're still together?
Yeah.
Oh, look at them. They've been together forever. So what I want to talk to you about is how did you see your mom being treated? And matter of fact, let's just get into that now. How did you experience your mom getting treated by your father?
I think she was, as far as I could tell, was always treated well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with any relationship or marriage that lasts that long,
yeah.
There's going to be some some ups and downs and things like that. But as far as my mom, I was treated very well, and so was she.
Yeah. So. Amen. So you came, he came from a healthy family. You know what I mean? We need to put him on he need to write a book about the difference. Like, what does it mean to have a healthy family? Now, my question to you, too, is what did your mom, like, instill in you as a man and your expectations in terms of when you start dating? Like, what are things you should make sure you do for women? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she told me it's your job to always be polite, you know, always be nice to people. You know, you never try to push someone one way or the other, make them do something that they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great lesson. I think it turned me into a good listener, and it made me able to understand that there's two parties in any relationship. And so I think that sometimes when, with the conversation from last week, we discussed what I saw in social media, younger men saying, I'll provide for my family as long as she respects me.
Yeah.
What I understand, what I've observed, is that most women want to work. So, for me, if women want to work and have their own independence and freedom, then I want them to
have that.
To have that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that comes from my mom.
Yeah. Amen. So what I hear you saying is your mom's like, boy, just be kind, be nice, listen. You know, it's not all about you, right? But show up in the space, holding space, right? And you're tuned in here to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostess, and
Colin Baruchat.
So we're just talking about the complexities of this energy around men hating women, and then which leads to specifically as it relates to Black women, this idea that Black women are less deserving. So I was just asking him, like my co-host, what was he taught growing up by his Black mother? Now, for me, as a Black woman, the messages I've received, and environments are important, right? Where you grow up, how you grow up, class, resources, opportunities, it all determines what you see, right? So a lot of people who are struggling in poverty have a different experience, because you usually have disjointed families, or families or environment that are not healthy, or you know, just are very toxic field. So one of the things that occur in these dynamics is oftentimes Black women are the breadwinners, you know, like in the numbers show it, Google it, like we're the breadwinners. Black women right now today are the most educated, right? We hold the most degrees in all, you think about from doctors to masters. And then we're also heading our families, right? So we're also the main parent in our households, disproportionate to other races, right? So then how that plays out in the dynamic of relationships often is Black women are seen as not good enough for provision. Now, Colin, you talked about provision in terms of finance. From a man perspective, and Luke, I'm going to ask you to jump in too, what other provisions are necessary in a safe, healthy relationship? Like, what do you need to make sure you're doing in in your partnership?
Well, you need to make sure that you're providing a level of security and support to your partner, in both emotional and physical, and to make sure that you're supporting your partner in them fulfilling their goals.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part of a family. I think it seems kind of shallow and certainly old fashioned if you think you're just going to pay for everything and then get some kind of you know, the trade is not I pay for your home and your food and then you respect me. It's no, both partners need to mutually respect each other.
Yeah.
And I think that often means that in today's world, women have to go out and work, and so they're financially independent.
Yeah, I receive all of that. How about you, Luke?
Yeah, a lot of my wife and I's relationship is our yin and yang. Is she grounds me in some regards. Mm-hmm. I get too work obsessed. I really put myself into the job, where she'll pull me out of that. But then she also she's got some indecisiveness and a little bit more chaotic in some of her thought process sometimes, and I help try to ground her in this, like in the steadiness.
Yeah.
But she knows it too, and it's one of those things where even if you're aware of your shortcomings, if you wanted to call them that, you sometimes need some support
in
being able to
see yourself,
navigate those, and be able to overcome them. And so it's definitely a yin and a yang, and it's the fact that we're both there for each other, regardless of what's going on.
That's real. So in today's society, we have too many young folks preaching and talking about the content creators about how women don't deserve provision and how this whole respect thing. So when we return, we want to talk about respect. What is respect anyway? What does that actually mean? And what are men asking for when they're asking for respect? And how does that relate to emotional intelligence here on the Black Brilliance Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
Colin Baruchat?
We'll be back in a jiff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Vice President J.D. Vance said he doesn't think a blood feud between President Trump and Elon Musk would be a good thing for America. The vice president weighed in during an interview that was released Friday as two of the world's most powerful men saw their relationship publicly fall apart. ABC's Alex Perchet has more.
It's a win for President Trump and the agency once headed by the world's richest man at a time when the relationship between the two is uncertain. They had a blistering exchange sparked by Musk's criticism of the president's so-called One Big Beautiful Spending Bill. The Tesla CEO called it a disgusting abomination. The president responding, "I'm very disappointed in Elon," and that tit-for-tat became more personal from there.
The win referring to a Supreme Court decision giving Doge access to Social Security numbers. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly deported and imprisoned in El Salvador, is back in the U.S. He faces a federal human trafficking charge. This is ABC News.
Brewers take on the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game two of a three-game series is tonight in Milwaukee between the Brewers and the San Diego Padres. Last night, the Brewers shut out 2-0. Milwaukee with just four hits and several times leaving two men on with two outs, unable to score any runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
We leave 10 on base. That's a tough go when you don't score and leave 10 on base. You know, there was some opportunities there, but, you know, Churio hits the ball on the barrel four times and gets one hit. We didn't get the timely hit. Give them credit. They executed, and they got the big home run when they needed it.
A special guest, Packers rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden, on hand to throw out the first pitch. Over 32,000 fans in attendance. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's the state high school track and field meet in Division I. Grady Len from De Pere ran the 1,600-meter race in just 4 minutes and 1.7 seconds, setting a new state record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The Paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in The Paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper company. There is no release date yet, but The Paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom, she'll be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. I like the beat. One day I'm going to learn how to dance here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. I am back, your favorite hostess with the mostess, Brandi Grayson, and my guest co-host,
Colin Baruchak.
For the second week in a row. He's going to get tired of my black butt, but maybe he'll come back next week. Who knows? We love his name, though. I can't even pronounce it. Colin Baruchak.
That's pretty close.
You know what? You're going to be, that's like a famous name. I can see that on a billboard. Colin Baruchak runs for office. We're going to be like, that's not right. Like we was with Kamala saying her name all wrong. Why can't we get black people name right? I don't know. We just be screwing up our names. Anyway, the conversation prior to break was women. I want, in like the hate of women and the complexities and intersectionality when you're a black woman. Let's play this clip, Luke, real quick, and then we'll have some Gamma Jerry.
Men have become so sensitive that every time their women express the way that they make them feel, they feel like they're being attacked. She's not attacking you. She's trying to teach you how to properly love her. She's trying to teach you how to properly nurture her, but your wounds, your ego, your pride have you on the defense. Be quiet. Shut up. Everything does not need a rebuttal. This woman is coming to you and she should have a safe space when she's able to express her feelings, her needs, and her wants. When a woman stops expressing her feelings because she no longer feels heard, it's over. When a woman emotionally detaches from a relationship, you already lost her. So if a woman comes to you and saying, baby, you make me feel like this, you make me feel like that, stop being defensive, listen and learn so you can become a better man, so you can learn how to love your woman better. The worst thing a man can do is hear a woman cry out for help and turn the other cheek. Love that woman, guide that woman, protect that woman, and shield that woman even from the lowest parts of yourself. Mm. All praise is due to the Most High. Mm.
That was good. He was like, even from the lowest parts of yourself. And I honestly have to say, I think we all need to be doing that for the people we love. Right. And not just from a gender perspective, for our kids, for people we love, like being aware of who we are being in the world. There's parts of me that I work deliberately on every single day. And my staff would tell you because I spend the most time with them. I spend more time with my staff than anyone in my world. I spend more time with my staff than I spend with my child. Right. Because I'm with them 9-10 hours out the day. It's kind of weird when you think about it. But anyway, let's get some commentary from the men that's on the mic. Okay, let's start with you, Luke. What's your thoughts? Any feedback on what he said? Any experiences of you witnessing this kind of sensitivity from men outside of you? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I struggle with it sometimes where my wife and I will be on a point of disagreement or arguing or whatever it may be, and I do have to take a moment and stop and figure out where the miscommunication or disconnect is. And sometimes I am quick to respond, taking it personally.
Yeah.
And it's I try not to, but you know, we're all human.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely, I agree with you as well, where we got to be thinking about this more, not just in our one-on-one relationships with our partners, but just who we're interacting with out in the world.
Yeah. And who are we being, y'all? Last week I made a Facebook Live about how I allowed someone, I engaged in a conversation because I was probably exhausted, and normally I wouldn't engage in this conversation. So I sent a voice audio like, hey, why y'all ain't A, B, and C, and what's up with this? And they were responding because we wanted something different or needed something different from you. And I was all in my feelings. So I responded from that reactive place instead of a responsive place. And I think that's part of this. Like, can you see yourself? Can you be, are you spending time with yourself and saying what that interaction that happened that didn't turn out the greatest, what parts am I accountable for, right? And where do I need to shift? What about you? What are your thoughts about the clip we just heard, Colin?
Well, it's a very interesting clip, and I think that he's right, that people become way too defensive in the face of criticism, especially, and I think this is largely how racism and sexism is functioning.
Yeah, that's real.
It's, you know, deeply uncomfortable in all circumstances to hear criticism and then instead of becoming defensive, to actually take it in. Most people are going to be in good faith, especially in a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
But it's uncomfortable for people. But I think we as men, we do need to move past that discomfort and the defensiveness.
Do you think it's harder for men to align with their feelings and get in tune of like really what's happening in that moment? Because in order to like, you know, respond from a different place, you actually have to be aware of what's happening for you emotionally. And I think sometimes because of how our society is designed, men are actually conditioned not to feel those parts of themselves. What's your thoughts on that?
I think I agree with that because people a lot of men were brought up by men who considered themselves to be the boss. Generations past, when an adult white man was the boss of everybody, whole family.
That's real.
That's even codified. You can listen to things like what J.D. Vance and some conservatives are talking about now. But women are now are no longer in those roles and are
our bosses ourselves. Ooh,
exactly.
How about that?
Yeah, they're taking things into their own hands.
That's
They're financially independent. They're even selling parts of their sexuality on places like OnlyFans. And I think a lot of men have cognitive dissonance over that, and they,
because it kind of symbolizes independence, and you don't get to commodify me. Somebody gonna make money off of me, it's gonna be me, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that's real important. And when we add race to the conversation here on Black Conversion Show, as we always do on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host for today,
Colin Berusha.
Berusha. Oh my goodness, that reminds me of Lion King. What did he say? Mufasa, Mufasa. Like, you say your name. Berusha. Wait, say your name again.
Yeah, it's Berusha.
Berusha. Berusha. I can't even. I didn't mess it up trying to go fast.
I was going to say, you get very close, and then you follow it up with a completely different rendition.
Yeah, I do that a lot. So I apologize to everyone in advance that my pronunciation of the English language sucks. I don't know if it's in my genetics or what, but girl, you've been alive already 45 years and still can't speak. But we'll talk about that later. So part of the conversation is the devaluation, I think, for Black women. Like, we don't, let's take Travis Hunter. Like, so this dude gets this millions of dollars, and too many, and that might not sit well, that word too many for people, but too many Black men enter sports and they don't marry Black women, right? They don't. And a lot of the conversations that I've heard is like, oh, because Black women are this, Black women are that, and negatively, right? So it's almost like I choose another partner outside of my race because Black women are negative. Like, and I don't need to go into the stereotypes, but very rooted and reinforces the negative stereotypes about strong Black women, right? She's too strong. She's not submissive. She can't do this. She can't do that. And what I want to help us get into discovery of is that actual narrative about Black women is rooted and racism, right? And then leads to this devaluation of our labor. And then it leads to this way of being with Black women in relationships, intimate relationships, and even in the work world, right? Like, so someone like me who's a Black woman and a boss, people don't think I should make as much money as I make, but they will never question a man who makes as much as I make, right? But my salary is always in the news. People are bothered by it, right? What's your opinion, Colin?
Yep, Brandi, your salary is always in the news.
It is, because who is she to make that kind of money, okay?
And I'm lucky enough, my salary is public information, but no one ever reports on it.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I'm not important enough.
Yeah.
Stop that. That's don't think of yourself that
You're
way,
important.
Colin.
No, it's fine. I don't want... people don't need to know all of that. So I do feel bad for you sometimes. I think people do have kind of a expectation of how much someone should make, how much someone's labor is worth, and they want to try to enforce that against people and use the media to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always appropriate,
And that plays out in relationships dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. Like that devaluation of women labor. Like, yes, you worked 40 hours today, but I still expect you to come home, clean, cook, take care of the kids, put them in the bath, make sure they brush their teeth, make sure they do their homework. I'm going to tell y'all this. When I pick up my son, he gets out of school at 4:30. By the time I get through traffic, it's 5:15. And don't let me have to stop at the grocery store or get gas. We looking at almost 6 o'clock. His bedtime's 8:15, 8:30. I'm rushing to get him home. He wants to play. He needs to read. And I am exhausted. I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes he eat hot dogs because, baby, I ain't got no time. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm exhausted. So I can imagine like having a partner who expects me to come home and cook for them or expects me to cater them or expects me to be that type of submissive woman and then base it on respect, right? Because a lot of times people are saying respect, but they're really what they mean by the word respect is that you leave me alone and let me do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And when I see that word brought up, when I see that concept brought up, it almost seems it's way too transactional.
Yeah.
I don't think that the concept of respect should be something that I pay for, that someone pays for.
Mm-hmm.
Respect is something that we should practice all the time with everyone.
Right. And I also think respect is earned.
Yeah.
Right? Don't y'all think respect is earned?
Absolutely.
It can be, you can forfeit it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you can forfeit it. I like that. What you mean by that?
So the way I approach things is I think most people deserve a base level of respect just for being other human beings. Obviously, some people out there are jerks and they'll do or say something to me or another person. And I say, I no longer respect that. Donald Trump. I don't respect him.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't got no respect for that man. An orange wig guy looking like a little choo-choo. Choo-cha-chata. We're just going to rename him something that doesn't even exist, Luke. How about you, Luke? How do men forfeit respect in relationships with women?
Oh, I see it sometimes with my buddies, and I'll call them out for it. When they act like the expectation is that they're waited on or that they earn something from just...
being a man.
Just being... Yeah. And so... it's definitely one of those things where misogyny pops up in different degrees and in different iterations all the time.
Yeah.
And it can be as simple as the way that you ask somebody to grab you a glass of water.
Yeah. Like, hey, babe, go get me some water. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's the way that you interact with people. It's the way that you phrase the words that you use, all of that. It compounds, and so there's opportunities for us to respect each other or disrespect each other all the time. And it's unfortunate to see it when there's people that you love, that you're close with, and you see that disrespect, not most of the time, not intentionally, but just seeping into day-to-day interactions.
Yeah, that's real. And it's hard for women, I'm just saying this generally speaking from my perspective, right? It's hard for women to respect men when they don't respect them and they don't feel safe, right? I've seen women feel safe with their partners and I admire it. And I'm talking about the kind of safety where she's acting like a little kid almost because she's so safe with her partner. Like, she's always kind of like, the person that I've witnessed is kind of like, laughing and like, oh, like I just, you can just tell she feels safe versus other women in relationships where there's always tension. They're always snapping. And what I would say, nagging or whatever. And I know that how women show up is a direct reflection of their relationship with their partner, from insecurity about other women, women standing too close, conversations, or just how they show up in spaces. So we're going to continue this conversation because it is good and it is part two. And we're talking about, really, this came from the question, do men hate women? And I think we've all concluded, yeah. And not all men, but it is in our system, in everything that we learn, we're indoctrinated in it. And men are indoctrinated in not feeling their feelings, which makes it hard to hear in relationships and be in communication. So you want to stay tuned for this because now we're about to get into the intersection of race, gender, and occupational segregation of Black women here on Black Conversion Show 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson. Be back in the GIF.
It's patio time in Madison. Let's head to the Lazy Elf Lounge. Kick off spring with a cold one with friends on the Lazy Elf patio. During Milwaukee baseball games, get half off of wing baskets. Plus, the Lazy Elf Lounge is a great place for lunch with great daily specials, soups made from scratch, and fast, friendly service. The Lazy Elf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyElfLounge.com.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a
a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Escape to the hidden gem of the Midwest, Chula Vista Resort. Relax with modern comforts and breathtaking views. Thrill into water parks and swing into championship golf. Savor diverse dining options. Book your summer retreat now. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA, with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at ChulaVistaResort.com.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't even know what this is, but it sounds like birds and drums. So it's great here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Gracie. That also sounds kind of like you high or something. Like you should be high with this song.
Stop it. if you don't know Anderson Paak, you should check out Anderson Paak because he is tremendous. He is an excellent musician.
Okay.
He both plays the drums and sings.
Oh, I like it.
And he's amazing.
It's the flutes, it's the birds and the drums. It's kind of funky, ain't it, Colin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funky. It's like you high and you're sitting and watching the birds in the backyard and this is good music. I'm going to look him up.
Well, and THC shops do we have on State Street right now?
A lot. So I'm going to go stop at one, get me some tea. I think they have one right down the street from the Overture Center where you can get like the tea. I'm telling you, what is that called?
THC tea?
Yeah, they got like tea.
I have no idea. That's not my cup of tea.
It's not. Luke said say no to drugs. Even if they say it's not drugs, it's druggish. Okay. So thank you for tuning back in here on the Black Conversion Show. We are having a conversation and getting into discovery of the intersectionality of Black women, race, and all that gender stuff that leads to misogyny and complicated reactions or interactions with women and men. And then our conclusion is, yeah, men kind of hate women. And a lot of times it's unknowing, unawareness, systems, education, indoctrination, and then this way of being where men are not really taught or encouraged to get into discovery of their feelings. Like, what is going on when you're having a conversation? What is triggering you? So one of the things I wanted to talk about is the occupational segregation of Black women, right? And what that really means is Black women are disproportionately concentrated in low-paying jobs, right? And that leads to a way of devaluing women and their labor and how we see women, specifically Black women. So a lot of women get kind of moved into jobs like CNA work. How many Black women y'all know? Well, y'all probably don't know as many Black women as me, but you know Black women. But a lot of folks is like kind of like segregated or moved into like CNA work and maybe nursing work, but never doctor work. You feel me? Or not enough doctor work or not enough high IT work or neuroscience work or tech work or things like that, but like caregiving work, like caseworkers, social workers. And those jobs, if y'all require a master's degree, but you don't get paid nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why they require master's degrees for some of these positions. Most of it should be based on experience and lived experience in my perspective. But that goes back into how we devalue the labor of women. What are y'all thoughts around that? How Black women are kind of moved into these, being segregated through occupations?
Well, I think it's unfortunately true that that Black women have been forced to take on lower paying roles. I'm somewhat optimistic because the Black women I know, as you mentioned earlier,
we moving, ain't we?
Love getting degrees.
We checking them bags.
and so I think that'll ultimately help.
Amen. But you know, it's so funny. Every time that we figure out the playbook, what happens to the playbook?
Rules change.
It changes real quick, right? So now you get to all the degrees. And they be like, you know what? We don't need those anymore. Did you guys see? I'm about to digress like I often do here on the podcast.
I saw it happening in real time. I saw the way that idea came into Brandy's head. And I was like, oh, we're going somewhere.
We're
going
to go somewhere else. But did you guys, I can't even remember his name, but he's a tennis player. He's black. He's tall. What is his name? Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
The one when he talked, Nadal, I think.
Maybe that's his name, but he was like walking on air playing tennis. Like he looked like he was playing basketball, y'all. He killed the game, and I cannot remember his name.
Is it this one? Is it Christopher Eubanks?
Is that? I don't know.
Why do you bring him up?
I bring him up because they about to change the game for tennis, just like they did for like Olympics when Simone showed up, right? And she was flipping, and they said, oh, those are too challenging, and she was getting all these tens. This brother did a backhand and was looking the other way. I said that, and then he like was walking, like literally walking in air like Michael Jordan with the tennis thing. And then he looked like he's going to hit it hard, and it went the opposite way. And the person he was playing with was like, he looked so defeated.
Yeah, well, that's how, I mean, there's going to be some changes, I think, coming in basketball. They already adopted the take foul. And
what's
the,
that?
So Giannis would be able to do these like breakaways and then Euro step and then slam dunk from the 3-point line.
Oh, wow.
And so 2 years ago, they adopted the take, but it's because Victor Wembanyama and a lot of these guys are changing the game because they were getting these different body types that all of a sudden are good playing basketball and they're these lengthy kind of stretch athletes. But they're also like 6'6" and taller and 200 plus pounds of muscle. And it's like,
Now they're going to change the game. So anyway, I digress, y'all, because I was talking about black women and how black women, we navigate a space and then they try to change the game. I often feel like that about Urban Triage. I am the founder and CEO, by the way. But I feel like every time we figure something out, the game change, right? Like we're the only organization that's black owned, operated, led, focused, centered, that's part of like this homeless consortium system. And they've changed the game on the process. And now we're messing up because the game changed. We took us 2 or 3 years to get it right. And now that we're the only ones in there, we were running like numbers, doing really good. And then I think they thought that we were cheating or lying. So the game changed. And now we're trying to figure it out and we're stumbling. It's going to take us a while to retrain our staff, but it's just a perfect example of how things change when black people enter a field or black people generally speaking, and someone who's exceptional, like you said, Giannis. But so we got on this because we were talking about black women and degrees and how that stuff. We're going to change it again. Now you're going to need, I don't know what you're going to need.
We won't know yet until the new rules change.
And then we'll be like, see, I told y'all I was going to change the game. So anyway, I appreciate you joining me for 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me. It was a good time.
We talked to death today.
Covered a lot.
Yeah, your mouth dry. My mouth dry. My lips dry.
Where's the Vaseline? You forgot it again?
See, Luke is getting used to being around black people and black women. Okay, we always try to have Vaseline in our pocket for our lips. That's very, very, very important. Moisturization is important for black people, okay? So and another thing that I've taught my white people, including Sage, who owns this radio station, when you hang out with black people, please don't show up at our house on time, okay? If we say dinner's at 5, you better be coming at like 6, okay? Do not come to my house at 5 o'clock. Shout out to my white folks who are adjusting to having black company and being around us. And if you tell me to come at 5, boo-boo, I'm going to probably be there around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So don't take it personal. We're just in a different time warp here. So thank you for tuning in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson, hostess with the mostest, and my guest for 2 weeks in a row,
Colin Burrushak.
Oh, y'all remember that name. The brother going to run for president or something. It's the name for me. Do y'all hear? Say it again.
Colin Burrushak.
Yeah, y'all better remember him here on 92.7 FM. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Dozens of people have gotten sick in seven states in the West and Midwest from a salmonella outbreak linked to a large egg recall, say federal health officials. They're Brown Organic and Brown cage-free eggs from the August Egg Company. American tennis player Coco Gauff has defeated top-ranked Aryna Sabalenka from Belarus to win her first French Open title. Russia intensifies its attacks against Ukraine, barrages of missiles and drones. Local officials report more than 50 people killed or wounded. In the capital, Kyiv, ABC's Martha Raddatz.
President Zelensky does not believe Vladimir Putin wants peace and is pleading with President Trump to impose stronger sanctions to force the Russian president into real negotiations to stop this war.
Protests in Los Angeles, this in Chinatown, after federal immigration police raided more than a half dozen businesses. Immigration advocates report arrests. This is ABC News.